Welcome to Timeless Truth with Pastor Jim Thomas, a resource of the Village Chapel in Nashville, Tennessee. This week, we continue our study of the Gospel of Mark. To find studies of other books of the Bible from our archive, you can search our sermon library at thevillagechapel.com/resources. We pray these studies will help you to think biblically in all categories of life, so that we all might be formed more into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's Pastor Jim.
There are four great questions that people have asked for a long, long time. Where did everything come from? Why are we here? Can we know the difference between right and wrong? And do we have a destiny? Or is this life all there is? Bible-believing Christians find meaningful answers to those four questions. Questions of origin, purpose and meaning, morality, and ultimate destiny. Today in our text, it describes the commissioning of Jesus' 12 disciples. As they and as we begin to follow Jesus, we find that in coming to Jesus, we will discover He is the one who called us. He is the one who prepares us. He's the one who sends us out into the world where literally everyone is asking those same great questions. But where should they turn? Where should we turn for the answers? The Bible responds and says that we should turn to the author of life itself, the one who designed and created human life, the one who placed within us a longing to know Him and a sense that something's not quite right. And how can that be set right? And then to turn to the one who made it possible for us to be reconciled to Him. Such great news. And these guys, these 12 guys, are being sent out now in Mark chapter 6. And I just want to pick up where we left off. As a matter of fact, I'll take a step back. Mark chapter 6, verse 6b, Jesus was going around the villages and teaching. And so He's moved from the rejection at Nazareth, His own hometown that we looked at in the last episode, to now He's moving from village to village and His public ministry is in full swing. And these disciples of His are following along with Him. And here's what happens. He summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs. That's two by two. And He gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the road except a staff. No bread, no traveling bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on an extra shirt. He said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. If any place does not welcome you or listen to you when you leave there, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and they preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons, anointed many sick people with oil, and healed them. That's just an amazing account. Now there are parallel accounts, of course, in the other gospel records, but this one in particular is so succinct. And I think it kind of reduces the whole thing down to this. When Jesus commissions His disciples, they were called, they were equipped, and they were sent. And I think He's still doing the same thing today. So if you're at that place where you're asking some of those really big questions, what's the purpose and meaning of my life? Where'd everything come from? Why am I here? Or what's the difference between right and wrong? I can't tell. And what do we do with this particular set of circumstances that we're in right now? What's the wisdom of God look like in this setting? And how can I be in a relationship with God where I can actually hear from Him on those kinds of things? Those are massive questions, and you're not wrong if you're asking some of those questions. As a matter of fact, I think the Lord Himself placed within us this capacity for eternity, for transcendence, so that we would always be longing to be in right relationship with Him. And in the person and work of Jesus, God Himself has done everything necessary for you and I to live in right relationship with Him. Part of that right relationship is indeed our ongoing life here, where we join Him in His mission in this world. And so a passage like this, where Jesus commissions His disciples, He literally calls them, equips them, and sends them out. That's a great model for us as well. Here, these 2,000 years later, when we turn to the Lord in faith, believing, when we answer His call to us, we respond to Him in faith. He does the same thing for us. And we can take a look at this model that we see here in Mark chapter 6, where it says, He summoned the 12, okay? Hey, you guys, you know, you 12, come here. I want to talk to you. He does the same thing for me and for you. He knows your name. He knows my name as well. And so just the idea that we've been called, that alone to me answers lots of questions. Where do we come from? Why are we here? How can we find our way? There's lots of big, giant questions that get kind of wrapped up and answered, I think. At least the question is managed better when I know that I have a calling in life. He equipped them. I like that as well. He says here, it says right here in verse 7 that He gave them authority over unclean spirits. And then He also instructed them not to take a bunch of stuff that they could depend on themselves for, but that when they go, they're to be somewhat dependent on the hospitality of others. And that when they go out, they've already been handed a message. It's not just the message of kind of feel-goodism. It's not just the message of kind of warm fuzzies, spirituality. No, it's much more than that. They go out and they were preaching that people should repent. All right. So again, it's not just spirituality as you define it. It's actually turning to Jesus, responding rather to His call. He calls us. We turn to Him. We respond to His call. He's the one that equips us. He gives us the power. He gives us authority, if you will, over unclean spirits. And these guys went out, and it says they drove out many demons, anointed many sick people with oil, and healed them. So there were words and works. There were words and deeds, if you prefer, just like Jesus. Words and works, words and deeds, just like you, just like me. This isn't just about getting people to agree with us about how right we are about God or how right we are about spirituality. No, it's also very, very practical. It's our words, actually, and our works are working together, if you will. They cooperate. One validates the other, just as it did in the life of Jesus. All of His miracles aroused curiosity. People were wondering, who is this? Where did He get this authority? Displayed His power. That was important. Revealed His compassion. Affirmed His identity. And see, this a similar kind of thing can happen for us. In other words, our lives, our words, and our works should arouse curiosity in the watching world and in the lives of those that we lived before. As well, there should be a display of the power of God at work in our life. And no one can take that away from you. You don't have to be able to answer everyone's question about the Bible, everyone's question about any contemporary issue or any sort of, you don't have to be able to do all of that. Just let your words and your works cooperate together to point to Jesus, give Him the glory, to show how He has changed you, how He's redirected your affections, how He's reordered your priorities, how He's given you a new heart, and you testify to the glory of His name. You affirm who He is, and His miracles did that as well. And of course, they inspired worship of Jesus. We see this over and over again in the gospel records, that people that encounter Jesus, as He encounters them, as He engages with them, as He heals so many of them, sets them free, so many of them, teaches with such great authority, so many thousands of them, He also, in doing that, inspires worship. People recognize, truly, this man must be the Son of God. So here we see these disciples. They were called, they were equipped, and then thirdly, they were sent. And He sent them out into the surrounding villages throughout that region. And they did the work that He sent them to do. They preached the message that He sent them to preach. And we'll see along the way, they're not perfect still. They're imperfect messengers, that's right. Just like you, just like me. But nonetheless, they're following Jesus. Nonetheless, they're learning about Jesus along the way. Nonetheless, they're beginning to learn what it means to lay down their lives for the glory of Jesus and for the good of their neighbor. Just a few quotes, and I'll let you go. Oz Guinness said, and I've used this quote before, but I just keep going back to it because this book, The Call, it's an older book of Oz's, but one that for me, I've recently reread, and it's just refreshed a passion within me to respond to the call of Jesus. Since this passage today is about that, I thought it was appropriate to go ahead and pull this quote again. He says, and he asks, I love it the way he does it. He asks a question. Do you want to know a truth that in the momentous challenges of our modern world will be at once a quest to inspire you, an anchor to hold you fast, a rich fare to nourish you, and a relationship you will prize above all others? That's all a question. Oz's answer is an exhortation. Listen to Jesus of Nazareth. Answer his call. That's so well said. I just appreciate Oz and his wisdom. As well, there's a man named Timothy Savage who once said, God wants to share his love with us, not only by making us the objects of his love, but also by equipping us to share his love with others. The Christian faith, yes, it's a come and see faith, but it's also a go and tell faith. And we see that even as we read through Mark's gospel, as we read through all four of the gospels, and we get to that resurrection event itself. And when folk come to the empty tomb, the angels are there to say, go and tell his disciples, to the women who were the first ones to come to the empty tomb to see that that Jesus had risen. The stone had been rolled away. The angels answer their question, but then send them on the way. Go and tell. And that indeed is what Jesus has done with us. He's equipped us by giving us the testimony of his resurrection, the testimony of the good news that he came to defeat the last and greatest enemy we have, death itself, that his death on the cross paid the price for our sins once and for all. And this is really good news. So now we've been equipped with a message. We've been called, we've been equipped with a message. And now we've been sent out to go share the message of God's redeeming love with others. Leslie Newbegin was a missionary for years and years and years in India. One of his last sermons was published under the title Signs Amid the Rubble. And when I think about the world that we live in today, when I think about so many things like earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, just the chaos on our own streets right here in America, and the kind of violence that we see in America, I was drawn again to that title, Signs Amid the Rubble, because we live in the rubble of this world. What we need are signs of hope amid the rubble of the existence that we live in. And it gets back to, doesn't it, those original questions I started with. Because when life seems to be a bunch of rubble, a bunch of chaos, a bunch of violence, it seems like the world is out of control. You start asking those big questions again. Where did everything come from? Why are we here? How can we tell the difference between right and wrong in a world that is deconstructing language itself? We are doing that at our own peril, because now we have no shared consensus on what good or bad, right or wrong might mean. And that can only lead to chaos and deconstruction of society itself, not to mention the fact that inside of each individual that causes all kinds of fear, all kinds of doubt and skepticism. So where do we turn? We turn to Jesus, the author of life, the one who said he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that death on the cross of Jesus and that glorious, beautiful resurrection are all I need to know that he really is the one. We need look no further. Let's turn to him. As Leslie Newbegin put it in Signs Amid the Rubble, the resurrection of Jesus was a kind of nuclear explosion which sent out a radioactive cloud, not lethal, but life-giving. And the mission of the church is simply the continuing communication of that joy. Joy in the Lord. Hey, let's intend to walk in that personally ourselves today, and to make that visible in our lives through our words and our works today. You've been called, I've been called, we've been equipped, we've heard the gospel, we know the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And let's go out now into the world. Let's be the sent ones, because each and every one of us can be a witness for Jesus, to help further the gospel in the lives of those people around us that are asking those same questions we ask. And they don't really, some of them don't know where to turn. They're wandering about in the darkness. Why are we so silent? Why are we so timid when we've got such great news? Let me pray for us. Thank you, Lord, for this passage. Commission us each and every day, I pray, that we'd be stirred, awakened, reminded, Lord, that you indeed have called and equipped, you've called us, equipped us, and you've sent us into the little bit of this world that we happen to occupy and live in today. Help us to be faithful ambassadors, to love others well in your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to today's study. Take a moment to leave a review and share this episode with friends and family. You can stay connected by signing up for our newsletter or follow us on social media. At The Village Chapel, we believe God's Word is unique in its source, timeless in its truth, broad in its reach, and transforming in its power. For more resources or to support our ministry, visit our website, thevillagechapel.com.